Hi, and welcome back to the Prepare Podcast. On today's episode, we welcome Captain Lynn Lopez to the podcast. Captain Lynn is a commanding officer at the Salina, Kansas Corps in the Kansas Western Missouri Division. As I got to hear Lynn's story, I asked her what she loves about women's ministries and where she sees space for improvement. She points out some blind spots that I think we all have the space and capacity to address. Enjoy learning from and getting to know Captain Lynn. Hi, Captain Lynn Lopez. Welcome to the Prepare Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you calling in from Salina, Kansas, where you are the commanding officer at the Corps in the Kansas Western Missouri Division.
It's great to be here.
Yay. So that's what you do. You're an officer, but there's much more to who Lynn is. So why don't you go ahead and introduce our listeners to who is Lynn?
Well, I'm known as Mimi, Mom, Captain, mostly Captain these days, but I have a vast heart for people. I love my family with all of my heart. Mm. They are everything to me. And first and foremost, I love Jesus Christ. I live to make his name famous, to help people know the wonderful power that he can have in their life, in a very genuine and down-to-earth way. I'm not your traditional pastor. I am a just very down-to-earth, open, honest soul who loves to read the Bible. I love to share just being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. I show people every day how to serve him, how to serve others through him in practical ways.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, let's talk about where that really began. Can you share when you became a Christian?
I can, and I will. July 21st, 2006, I found myself at the very end of my rope in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I'd spent a great deal of my life being a mom, raising my children, but I also was a gangbanger and a drug dealer and an alcoholic, and all of that led to a point of not really wanting to live anymore. Like, there wasn't much point to me other than my children, whom I do love and adore. But, I mean, the life I was leading was absolute horror, and the people I was around. So I kind of came to this point where I had gone to the Salvation Army in Sioux Falls one time, and as they stood up and worshiped God, I listened to the words of the song, and I just began to weep. Like, all I could do was stand there and cry. I didn't have anything to say, and I kind of escaped out of the building right away, and I went home, and in the middle of my front room, I just dropped to my knees. And I said, God, if you have anything for me, you know, that's what I want, because otherwise I want you to take my life. I don't even want to live anymore. And if you have something for me, then I want all of my desires for my past life to be gone. And I only want things from you in my life. That's what I want. And I accepted Jesus Christ in that moment. And I in that moment, I literally felt his Holy Spirit wash over me in that time. And I heard him say, and I want you to be a Salvation Army officer.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever that means. Because I don't think I ever decided, like, I want to be a Salvation Army officer. I didn't even know what that meant in that moment. Keith Graham and his wife were there in Sioux Falls as like their summer field training, and they kind of knew what a crazy life I had. And I went and saw them a few days later and had dinner with them. And I told them what I felt like God had said to me. And I was like, dude, I don't even know what that means. And, you know, those people in the Salvation Army, they're going to never want someone like me because my life is a train wreck and I need to get well. You know, like, I don't even know how that would ever be. They would never accept someone like me. And so I just ended up leaving Sioux Falls and I went back to Kansas, where my mother lives. And I started, I called up Terry Martsoff and Major Terry. I told her, you know, I think I'd like to join your Salvation Army, but I don't know how to go about doing that. And she was like, well, okay. Well, we have, you know, like a Bible study and a women's ministry meeting. We have our youth meeting and things like that. Why don't you just start coming to the meetings and we'll see if it's a fit. We'll see how that comes together. And I told her, okay. So in those ensuing years for 2006, 7, and 8, I spent my time at work. I got a job and I just went to work every day and I went to the core to different programs. And I mean, I became a soldier right away within a year. And I feel like God fast tracked me into officership. He really wanted me where I am today. And I get that because it was from the time I accepted Jesus Christ, grabbed on to the hem of his robe because I was hanging on for dear life. And went into training. It was 3 years.
Yeah, that's a pretty quick turnaround.
I think so too. I don't know that that happens all the time, but this saved and sanctified the time that I accepted Christ, telling me that kind of thing, and then finding out that the army was more than open, and I had the support of my territorial commander, my divisional commander, and peers. It was amazing to me, and then the people who knew me from my past life and how I was would be like, I hear your voice, but I don't recognize you. What's happened here? And you know, when people found out I was becoming a pastor, some of them were like jokers, you know, like, yeah, right, Lynn. But it's really because my eyes have been focused on God this whole time. There really is nothing more important to me than his saving grace and what he's done in my life, how he's changed me dynamically inside and out. I've been a Christian now for nearly 13 years, and I can tell you those, even with the hard times that come along with that, sobriety and just trying to live a life of being a Christian, of serving the Lord, they're still the best years of my life.
That's awesome. Lynn, is there a ministry over the years that you are personally and consistently drawn to? And if so, why? And what is it?
I love to help people figure out how to be successful. And that can be my children, that can be seniors, that can be homeless folks, struggling with addiction. I love my veterans. I figured out later in life that I'm very patriotic. And I love our veterans, and I want to make sure that once they've served our country, that we're treating them well. So I think that I haven't found any, I don't know that I've found a specific ministry other than just giving people hope. I love to talk about Christ. He is my favorite topic in the entire world. And the word of God, just trying to pull out of there how to live in a genuine way, with all the people that I encounter. Now, one of the things that I am looking for as I enter these later years of my officership here is a particular ministry, because I've been, I have noted, and I've said this since I became an officer, that as a corps officer, as a single officer, I find myself fragmented a lot. Like, I want to do super quality work on everything, and I am so fragmented because there's so many pieces to ministry that I do. I don't always feel like I do that. So I would like to find a focus. And one of the things that I do well as well is emergency disaster work. So I'm looking into chaplaincy and maybe working toward some sort of education in chaplaincy and something in the Salvation Army where I would work more in tune with something like that.
So you and I have something in common. So it makes me think that you're an 8 on the Enneagram, if you're familiar with that personality typing, that you want to see people reach their God-given potential.
And, absolutely.
And you're always looking for ways to come alongside them to either cheer them on or give them resources or whatever it may be to reach that state. I love that.
That defines it. Absolutely does. I love to see that light coming from them, like, oh, wow, I really can do this. I think people did that for me. Mm-hmm. And it causes me to really replicate that and want to see people succeed. So whatever I can do without, like, you know, we can't do it for them.
Right.
It's a choice that people make, but I want to stand there and cheer them on and help them figure it out if that's mm-hmm. possible.
Yeah. All right, we're going to shift into talking about women's ministries. I mean, as our listeners, and you know, this podcast comes from the Women's Ministries Department here at THQ. So let's chat about women's ministries. So two questions. What do you love about women's ministries? And then where do you see room for improvement in women's ministries? So let's start with the first one. What do you love about women's ministries?
I absolutely love women encouraging women. We live in a world, and I come from that kind of a thing. Like, I even heard my daughter and some of her young friends, you know, they're in their, they used to be in their 20s. I think she just turned 30.
it's hard to keep up.
Right. I would hear them calling each other these foul names. And I'm like, you know, in my day, those were fighting words, girls. yeah. And you use these words like they're loving and such, and they're not. So how can you encourage one another in a better way? And what I find from women's ministries that I love is that all ages, cultures, and women can come together and meet together and encourage one another and find out, learn about one another, share with one another, and really learn from our elderly women, from our younger women. I learn stuff about my world and about people every day in this manner. I also have a Hispanic ministry in my core, and I love helping to bring that culture to life and letting them know, you know, like, we have Spanish materials. I want to train. I'm really good at building teams and training people for leadership and pulling them out of like a comfort zone where they're like, oh, I could never lead that, or I could mm-hmm. never do that. And before we're done, I've encouraged them enough. And then they're sitting there leading a Bible study going, I never knew I could do this.
That's awesome.
So it's really fun to just be able to encourage women, but to learn and encourage, be encouraged by them as well. We study the word, we pray together. I've got two to three ladies I would love to take to Glen Eerie this August.
Oh, yeah. Are you going?
I'm trying. We're on the waiting list. So.
Okay.
I would love to take these ladies for this, and I think that that will help them to establish a better women's ministry in our core, because in the 2 years I've been in Salina, we've really struggled establishing a solid women's ministry. It's kind of like it was all in the daytime, and then anybody that works could never be there. So we moved it to an evening time and connected it to our community evening meal. And we try to connect the ladies who are there to our women's ministry, but it's, and connecting our Hispanic ladies to it too. Mm-hmm. It's just been a bit of a struggle here, to get everybody together and build leaders in this, but it's coming together. And sometimes that takes, you know, 3 or 4 years to really bring to fruition.
Yeah. Now, where would you see room for improvement in women's ministries, you know, as a whole?
Well, some of the things that I did talk with Lieutenant Carla about this particular question, because I've got her leading that, really leading it. That's part of her program that she leads at this time. And some of the things that we talked about were the materials really being geared more toward older ladies. Us in our 50s, mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily connect with a 20-year-old.
Okay.
So I asked her in particular, so if we need to gear things to a younger set of women, because just like any other program, organization, whatever it may be, if it's the American Legion or the Rotary or Lions Club or whatever, the younger people are in a different place, and they're working mothers all the time, having a career and a family and things like that. That's changed from what a lot of 50 pluses have felt like. A lot of those ladies may have been stay-at-home moms.
Mm-hmm.
So it changes the dynamic of what we would need to gear our materials toward, how to make good choices for college and careers, and maybe worship that's geared toward a younger crowd. It's mm-hmm. not always the traditional music. And I try to do that anyway, just in my Sunday services and things. But the embrace material, mm-hmm. I really like the premise of embrace, and we've had a good time trying to get that going, but you have to have a dedicated leader.
Yeah.
And so that's not really an improvement for women's ministries, but how do I find the dedicated leader? Mm-hmm. It's changed by each community, how this works out.
Mm-hmm.
And with mine right now, I would say I need to have someone who would talk about addiction and homelessness, because a lot of the ladies coming in my core, that's where they're at.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of materials we would want.
Okay.
And then the one thing that I really would say that we need to do to improve women's ministry is to stop expecting all the core to, you know, just be a cookie cutter
mm-hmm.
program, because it can't. We can't require every core to look the same as this core over here, where it's really working and this one isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
What needs to change is based on that community and based on the people. And that's what I was talking about before. The people who are coming into my core are the folks who I would actually ask to be a part of my women's ministry. It's part of that, let me just encourage you to be here.
I think that's such a great point of the, so say the resource book that comes out that provides program plans, to have a number of those be, like you mentioned, people coming out of addiction or that are homeless. Like, how can we support them in that and speak into their situation through one of the provided programs? That's what you were referring to?
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay.
The number of homeless, the homeless population in my community has increased, like doubled just over the last year. And a lot of the folks that are coming through are women.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm talking about a tea party, they're not necessarily going to connect to that, or a princess party, or here I want to talk about, you know, they're not feeling like a princess.
Yeah.
And that's way off their radar. But if there was something in there that might speak into their life and I could do that, then I change the dynamic of what women's ministry looks like. If we do a craft here, come and do a craft with me. But I'm going to talk about things that are really related to where the women around me are in their walk in life.
So when the resources that are provided don't meet your need, how are you improvising? What are you coming up with that is relatable, that is relevant to their experience?
I think a lot of that is just talking about, I think that some of the women, even the men, they look at me like one guy, he said to me, well, you could never understand what I go through being an alcoholic and being homeless.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what was said to me. And I'm like, you have no idea.
Actually,
you have no idea.
Yeah.
That I came from this. I've had a blood alcohol level so high that they said if I took one more drink, sir, I would die.
Wow.
And so when they find out from that perspective, female or male, that maybe I do understand their problems, then they will start hearing what I'm talking about. They will maybe go, okay, so how did you get away from there? And how did you get here? And then truly it's the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
It is opening scripture. If they're ready to hear a word from God, and it's not banging people over the head with the Bible, it's not doing anything like that, but, you know, pulling out from Psalms 40, I wait patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. That simple scripture right there. And then talk about real life things. I offer real life things they need. Do you need some dry socks? Do you need some clean socks? Would you like to take a shower? Those social services connected to my women's ministry, they make a difference.
Yeah, I was just had an episode recording last week with Katie Engel. She's a women's ministry secretary in Michigan. And she was saying that it's so, essentially, it's so much easier to minister to women when you can meet their practical needs, and like for starters, childcare. Can we provide childcare? Because that's for so many women, like one of their number one things is like, where can my kids be during this time? If they can't be at home, where can they be in this space? And if they can't be here, then I can't be here.
So exactly,
it's a lot of those are challenges.
Well, they are, because then I have to figure out who is the volunteer that's going to take all the kids, the volunteers, because we are safe from harm compliant.
Yeah. So, are they trained? Do you have multiple?
And so now who's going to be in the gymnasium and the game room so that I can be in here, you know, jibber jabbering and talking about lady things, you know?
Right.
Those are real challenges.
Yeah. Okay. So what is growing your faith in Jesus right now?
Well, I can say this for myself. My faith in Jesus has never faltered. It doesn't grow dim, and I praise God for that. But I pray for an increase in my faith and a desire for all things to do with God every day. My prayer life is vast. I pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's not a moment in my life when I'm walking around, even when I'm mad or even when I'm sad or whatever, when I'm seeing some brutal thing happen in the news or whatever, when I'm not going, Lord, why? What's happening here? And what can we do about it? You know, I'm always there and I walk every day with God. It's so important to me that there's not a moment I want to be without Jesus. I have been reading this book called Spiritual Disciplines Handbook by Adele Alberg Calhoun. Practices that transform us, because I found myself in this last, 6 months or so, not controlling my words. I'm known as a forthright, honest person to the point of being brutally honest. And I've always been able, in my past, I felt like these past years, to speak hard truths to people, but with love. Mm-hmm. When I became an officer, I didn't even like people, nonetheless loved them. And I told God, I'm really going to need you to help show me how to do that, because people are very naughty and I will come right back at them. You know, that's how I am. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn how to love even the hardest people to love. And I was successful at that until just this last 6 months or so. And like, I found myself snapping back at people and really just kind of coming unglued a little bit. And I'm going, this is not who I am in Jesus. So it's not my faith, I don't think, that needs growth. It's the spiritual disciplines and acting out Christianity in love. Mm-hmm. Through my words, through my actions, through every bit of who I am, because I don't want people to look at me and go, oh, great, another Christian. Yeah. I'd rather they, you know, saw Jesus like, well, that's really beautiful that you want to help this way, you know, and why do you do that? Because I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
You know, I would rather that be it. So one of the things in here, James, the book of James is one of my favorite books. And he says, from the Message version, a word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we always think about what we say, but I've always known that words can, my words I've known can either build people up, help them be successful and love them straight into the kingdom, or I can tear people down really, to the ground.
Yeah.
But one of the things and some of the disciplines of controlling this, that is said here, it says this, and I'm just quoting from this book, thank God that we are inhabited beings. The Spirit of God lives in us and partners with us to change our verbal outbursts. Indeed, God intends to so renovate our tongues so that we become God's own word of blessing, truth, and love for others. Healing and blessing others with our lips is one way God heals our world.
Wow.
That statement was so profound to me. I'm like,
I get chills.
I needed to hear that. I needed to know that, because I want to edify people. That's what his word tells us to do. And so
that's so hard with, you know, I'm very similar in that, it kind of goes back to that like potential thing. I'm like, okay, if they need to know that this and this is getting in the way of them reaching their full potential. So how can I speak into this thing in their life in a loving way? Because they're not, if they don't handle this, it's going to prevent them from their success and reaching their potential for who God made them to be. So I,
right. Well, but it's hard to not just say, this is what you really can do. This is what you need to do. Mm-hmm. But where we have to stop is, and now I have to say, and this is your choice.
Yeah.
And once I put the words there, this is a choice you can make and only you can make for yourself. I have to leave it there. And if they don't pick that up and walk with it, that becomes a disappointment and kind of a hurt in our heart.
Yeah.
And so we see the potential, but we can never make people take that gauntlet up and, you know, use that potential in their life. They have to choose it. Some people choose to continue walking in the way that they are. And that's difficult when you know that there's so much more they can do and be, but we have to leave it right there. Like, we are leaving it in God's hands. I think one of the biggest challenges I've ever had in my life with faith is to leave the salvation of my children and my grandchildren up to God. Like, I have to really pray and let take my cast iron grip off of that.
Yeah.
And go, okay, God, I really do trust you for their salvation. And there's truly nothing, because my children are grown. There's nothing I can do about that. I can speak into their lives. And not all of my children choose that. Like, why do you keep trying to talk to me about Jesus? You know, I don't believe that. And I'm like, I will, with my dying breath, be telling you Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's hard when I see things that would go so much better for even my own family if they would choose that, nonetheless somebody I've just met. So faith is that I don't need to be so prideful that I've got to fix it, because God said he's far more powerful and he's got this and he's going to do it. His word doesn't go out void. It comes back fulfilled.
So, last question. Where would you like to see the Salvation Army in 10 years?
Well, I have to say, I want to see the Salvation Army filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit, first and foremost. I want to see, as a single, I feel like being as a single officer, I have no hope of being married in the Salvation Army. So I would like to see changes in that particular system, because I know it works. I know there's glitches and problems in the way that works, even other places, but I know there is other places that they have placed people in officership and then they marry someone who is not an officer. And I know there are issues too on the other side of it. There's going to be issues either way, but I don't believe that God saved me, sanctified me, called me to ministry to spend the rest of my life alone.
So you're speaking to the, that at some point we would let married, we'd let an officer be married to someone that's not an officer.
Yes.
Yeah.
I
hear that a lot. Definitely. And it's other countries are doing it. So it would, one of the last to adapt to that.
Right. I just think that we're losing officers to marriage.
Yeah.
Because that's not something that's possible for us. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Hey, listeners, sorry for the quick interruption, but I want to take a moment while we have you to remind you to sign up for the nationally produced online Women's Ministries resource book. This is for officers and women's ministries secretaries and leaders. There you'll find programs for the fourfold program, focusing on fellowship, education, service, and worship, as well as other programs for outreach and community opportunities, as well as Women's Sunday. There's also a section on spiritual formation, life and ministry, and everything is available in Spanish. There's also this little section on the right margin with keywords you can click on and find programs on specific topics. I really love that feature. So go to www.wmresources.org. By subscribing, you will receive blog posts from this website, and the website as a whole is a rich source of resources for you as you lead your women. Okay, now back to the end of the episode. Okay. Any other thoughts on TSA from 10 years from now?
Really, truly, just love to be led by God, the fire of the Holy Spirit, allowing God to lead the way. I think that that's going to be who the Army needs to be.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Lynn, for giving me a part of your morning. I know I don't take that for granted that you had to cut out about an hour of your day for this recording. You've got a lot of programs and a lot of needs at your location, so I don't take it for granted. And I really thank you for giving time to our listeners to share from your experiences and wisdom.
It's been my pleasure, and I just thank you for having me and asking for my humble opinion. I am grateful that you wanted to know what I thought.
Thanks, Lynn.
Bless your day.
Thank you, Captain Lynn, for sharing about your salvation experience, your calling, and your hope for the Salvation Army to be on fire and led by the Holy Spirit. Listeners, we hope we've left you feeling better equipped and prepared for tomorrow. See you next time.